Robert Adams, Book One, Chapter One, Ecclesiastical History of the English Peoples of Venerable Bede. Chapter One, of the Situation of Britain and Ireland and of Their Ancient Inhabitants. Britain, an island in the Atlantic, formerly called Albion, lies to the northwest, facing, though at a considerable distance, the coasts of Germany, France, and Spain, which form the greatest part of Europe. It extends 800 miles in length towards the north, and is 200 miles in breadth, except where several promontories extend further in breadth, by which its compass is made to be 4,875 miles. To the south lies Belgic Gaul. To its nearest shore, there is an easy passage from the city of Rutubi Portus, by the English now corrupted into Rectichastir. The distance from here, across the sea to Gessoriacum, the nearest shore in the territory of the Marini, is 50 miles, or as some writers say, 450 furlongs. On the other side of the island, where it opens upon the boundless ocean, it has the islands called Orcades. Britain is rich in grain and trees, and is well adapted for feeding cattle and beasts of burden. It also produces vines in some places, and has plenty of land and waterfowl of diverse sorts. It is remarkable also for rivers abounding in fish and plentiful springs. It has the greatest plenty of salmon and eels. Seals are also frequently taken, and dolphins, as also whales, besides many sorts of shellfish, such as mussels, in which are often found excellent pearls of all colors, red, purple, violet, and green, but chiefly white. There is also a great abundance of snails, of which the scarlet dye is made, a most beautiful red, which never fades with the heat of the sun or exposure to rain. But the older it is, the more beautiful it becomes. It has both salt and hot springs, and from them flow rivers which furnish hot baths, proper for all ages and both sexes, in separate places, according to their requirements. For water, as St. Basil says, receives the quality of heat when it runs along certain metals and becomes not only hot, but scalding. Britain is also rich in veins of metals, as copper, iron, lead, and silver. It also produces a great deal of excellent jet, which is black and sparkling, and burns when put to the fire, and when set on fire, drives away serpents. Being warmed with rubbing, it attracts whatever is applied to it, like amber. The island was formerly distinguished by 28 famous cities, besides innumerable forts, which were all strongly secured with walls, towers, gates, and bars. And because it lies almost under the North Pole, the nights are light in summer, so that at midnight the beholders are often in doubt whether the evening twilight still continues, or that of the morning has come, since the sun at night returns to the east in the northern regions without passing far beneath the earth. For this reason, the days are of a greater length than summer, and on the other hand, the nights in winter are 18 hours long, for the sun then withdraws into southern parts. In like manner, the nights are very short in summer, and the days in winter, that is, only 6 equinoctial hours. Whereas, in Armenia, Macedonia, Italy, and other countries of the same latitude, the longest day or night extends but to 15 hours, and the shortest to 9. There are in the island at present, following the number of the books in which the divine law was written, 5 languages of different nations employed in the study and confession of the one self-same knowledge, which is of highest truth and true sublimity, to wit, English, British, Scottish, Pictish, and Latin, the last having become common to all by the study of the scriptures. But at first this island had no other inhabitants but the Britons, from whom it derived its name, and who, coming over into Britain, as is reported, from Armorica, that the Britons, or Brythons, came from Gaul is a doubtless fact. Another branch of the Celtic race, the Goidals or Gaels, appears to have been in possession of Britain before them. They possessed the southern parts thereof. Starting from the south, they occupied a greater part of the island. When it happened that the nation of the Picts, putting to sea from Scythia, as is reported, in a few ships of war, and being driven by the winds beyond the bounds of Britain, came to Ireland and landed on its northern shores. There, finding the nation of the Scots, they begged to be allowed to settle among them, but could not succeed in obtaining their request. Ireland is the largest island next to Britain and lies to the west of it, but as it is shorter than Britain to the north, and so, on the other hand, it runs far beyond it to the south, over against the northern part of Spain, though a wide sea lies between them. The Picts, then, as has been said, arriving in this island by sea, desired to have a place granted them in which they might settle. The Scots answered that the island could not contain them both, but, "We can give you good counsel," said they, "whereby you may know what to do. We know there is another island, not far from ours, to the eastward, which we often see at a distance, when the days are clear. If you go thither, you can obtain settlements, or, if any should oppose you, we will help you." The Picts, accordingly, sailing over into Britain, began to inhabit the northern parts thereof, for the Britons had possessed themselves of the southern. Now the Picts had no wives, and asked them of the Scots, who would not consent to grant them upon any other terms than that when any question should arise, they should choose a king from the female royal race rather than from the male, which custom, as is well known, has been observed among the Picts to this day. In process of time, Britain, besides the Britons and the Picts, received a third nation, the Scots, who, migrating from Ireland under their leader Gueda, either by fair means or by force of arms, secured in themselves those settlements among the Picts, which they still possess. From the name of their commander, they are to this day called Derwentini, for in their language, Dal signifies a part. Ireland is broader than Britain, and has a much healthier and milder climate, for the snow scarcely ever lies there above 3 days. No man makes hay in the summer for winter's provision, or builds stables for his beasts of burden. No reptiles are found there, and no snake can live there, for those snakes are often carried thither out of Britain. As soon as the ship comes near the shore, the scent of the air reaches them, they die. On the contrary, almost all things in the island are efficacious against poison. In truth, we have known that when men have been bitten by serpents, the scrapings of the leaves of books that were brought out of Ireland, being put into water and given them to drink, have immediately absorbed the spreading poison and assuaged the swelling. The island abounds in milk and honey, nor is there any lack of vines, fish, or fowl, and it is noted for the hunting of stags and roe deer. It is properly the country of the Scots, who, migrating from thence, as has been said, form the third nation in Britain in addition to the Britons and the Picts. There is a very large gulf of the sea, which formerly divided the nation of the Britons from the Picts. It runs from the west far into the land, where to this day stands a strong city of the Britons called Alcolith. The Scots, arriving on the north side of this bay, settled themselves there. Robert Adams. End of Book 1, Chapter 1 of the Ecclesiastical History of the English People of Venerable Bede.